Lynn is her white count is way down, and she's on some kind of they've given her a shot that's supposedly going to raise it, and she'll find out in the morning, you know, when she goes. But she feels good. I'm thankful for that. But her white count is way down right now, so everybody remember her. Would you turn to Psalm 29? Now you'll notice when we read this psalm, seven times we read of the voice of God. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion, one of the highest peaks in the mountains of Lebanon. They skip like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve. They give birth at his voice and discovereth the forests. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in Christ's name that we might hear your voice in your word. Lord, we don't want to hear the voice of a man. We want to hear the voice of the living God from his word. Lord, we ask that your voice would break our hearts. We ask that your voice would create life. We ask that the voice of your gospel might be clearly heard. We give thanks that you're pleased to speak for Christ's sake. We give thanks for your salvation. May we be enabled to worship thy dear Son. Lord, we pray for those of our number that are sick, that are sorrowing, that are going through trial. We pray for your blessing and healing hand to be upon them. Lord, we ask that you'd accept our thanksgiving for Christ's sake. We're so thankful for who you are. We're thankful that you sent your Son into this world to save your people from their sins. Forgive us of our sins for Christ's sake. Lord, we pray that you unite our hearts together to fear your name. Bless us for the Lord's sake. Be with all your people wherever they meet together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I suppose if I was going to try to give this psalm a title, I would call it The Voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. Seven times we read in Psalm 29 of the voice of God, and Christ is the voice of God. You know when it says the voice of God was walking in the cool of the day toward Adam? I have no doubt that that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember when God was in the still, small voice with Elijah? I have no doubt that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You will remember the Lord saying, "The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live." It was his voice that said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth. It was his voice that rebuked the wind and the waves and the sea. And there was a great calm. Don't you want to hear his voice from his word? Oh, I do. I pray that the Lord will be pleased to cause us to be just like Samuel. "Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth." Now look in this psalm, verse 1. "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength." Now you and I both know that we cannot give anything to the Lord. What that is speaking of is, "Ascribe ye to the Lord." Acknowledge, ascribe to him glory and strength. I can't give him glory and says, "Oh, thanks." You know, I can't give him strength. He's omnipotent. But I can ascribe to him glory. And I can ascribe to him strength. And notice it says, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty." Now, several people that I read said this is a reference to angelic beings. And it may be. I wouldn't say it's not. But my marginal reading says, "The sons of the mighty." The sons of God, which every believer is, a child of God. "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength." Ascribe all glory to him. Ascribe omnipotence to him. "Give unto the Lord," verse 2, "the glory due unto his name, and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Now, give unto the Lord the glory that's due his name. What's his name? His name's who he is. His name is his attributes. His name is his sovereignty. His name is his justice. His name is his holiness. His name is his immutability. He can't change. His name is his eternality. I love to think about this. Not that I can. He never had a beginning. He never began to be. He'll never end. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. What glory is due to his name? What majesty and honor is due to his name? Now, he tells every child of God, give him the glory due to his name. And I think as much as anything else, that means fear him. That's what it is to give him glory. It's to fear him. That fear which is the beginning of wisdom. Fear him. And notice what it says. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, that has two meanings, both of which are equally true. Number one, it's only the holy nature that worships God. It is impossible for a natural man to worship God. It is only that holy nature that he gives that every believer possesses. And oh, it's so beautiful. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And this word holiness is also translated many times in the scripture, the sanctuary. The sanctuary. Now, I always think it's weird how churches call their auditoriums sanctuaries. Christ is the sanctuary. He is the house of God. It's not some silly room men have put up. Christ is the sanctuary. And the only way I can worship Him is in the Lord Jesus Christ. With the holy nature in the Lord Jesus Christ, my hiding place. Now he speaks of the voice of the Lord. And he says in verse 3, the voice of the Lord is upon many waters. The waters, rather. He goes on to say many waters, but what sounds more powerful than the ocean? It's deafening. I mean, you walk along the beach and you hear the roar of the ocean, it's deafening. It's powerful. And the voice of the Lord is as the waters. The God of glory thundereth. Now, I know there's a scientific explanation for thunder. It has something to do with the lightning heating up the air, and there's a change in air pattern, and clap, you have that thunder. But the Lord is the cause of that. And what is more powerful sounding than thunder? That's the Lord's voice to let us know of His power. The Lord is upon many waters. Verse 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful, omnipotent. Now you think of the voice of the Lord that He exercised in creation when He spake the world into existence. Is that powerful? Light be, and light was. Oh, how powerful His voice is in creation. The voice of the Lord is powerful in providence, and this is the example I thought of. When Shimei was cursing David, you ever been cursed by somebody? You ever been had people say things harshly toward you? Well, Shimei was cursing David. And Abishai said, you want me to go take his head off? And David said, no, the Lord said, curse David. Now, the Lord's voice is so powerful. That's an example of how everything that happens in providence happens at His command. The Lord said, curse David. No, don't take off his head. He's only doing what the Lord told him to do. Now, what that is a reminder to us is it's the voice of the Lord that is behind every event. It happens because He says for it to happen. Aren't you thankful it's that way? I'm so grateful. And how the voice of the Lord is seen in salvation, the power of His voice. I love what the centurion said to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now that is the powerful voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord, verse 4, is full of majesty, splendor, honor, glory, excellency. Verse 5, the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars, yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. Now, that was the hardest wood. You read so much in the Old Testament about the cedars of Lebanon. That's what they built the temple with, and the ewers of wood, the experts in cutting up these cedars of Lebanon, they were so hard. But you know what the voice of the Lord does? Splinters them, breaks them, crushes them. And I love to think of the Lord crushing with his voice the hardened heart and making the hardened heart to be broken and to hear. That's what that's a reference to. The voice of the Lord breaks. Now, we can be so arrogant and so cocky and so filled with ourselves. Lord takes care of that when he speaks. And it is no more. He breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. Verse 6. He maketh them also to skip. And that word skip is dance. It's talking about movement. These mighty cedars, all of a sudden there is movement. And then he speaks of the highest peak in the cedars of Lebanon, Sirion. It skips like a young, it moves like a young unicorn or bull dancing, writhing around. Now the point is motion. The point is motion. That which cannot move is moved. Now what is spiritual motion? Coming to Christ. That is spiritual motion. Coming from the place of deadness to the place of salvation, and the voice of God causes that to happen. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's the voice of God. You come. And him that cometh to me, he promised, I will in no wise, for no reason, cast out. Now that's the voice of God. It causes this spiritual motion. You know, I can preach till my... can't say anything else. It won't do a thing. It won't do a thing. But when God speaks through the preaching of his word, when God speaks, people come to Christ. Not in my voice, but at his voice. Now, look in verse 7. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. Now, that's a reference to lightning. The forks of lightning. And the psalmist is thinking of the Lord's voice as lightning. Oh, how powerful, how enlightening. Have you looked at lightning going across the midnight sky? How bright, it's so bright and it's just awesome and amazing. And it gives light in darkness. That is the voice of the Lord. Verse 8. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh, or the holy place. This is the power of his voice. Shakes. Verse 9. The voice of the Lord makes the hinds to calve. Now this is talking about the doe has its babies at the voice of the Lord. The point being, the voice of the Lord creates life. Oh, I pray that the voice of the Lord creates life in me and creates life in you. That's talking about spiritual life. When the Lord said with regard to the man that was beaten up and left half dead, he was half dead. He was alive physically, but he was dead spiritually. Half dead. Alive physically, but not spiritually. It's only the voice of the Lord that can create spiritual life and bring about birth. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Oh, what power there is in his voice. And it discovereth the forest. It makes bare the forest. Now here's the point. When God speaks, there's discovery. There's revelation. There's making bare. He makes bare the forest, the deep forest where you can't see what's in it. All of a sudden you see. Now what that means is, first of all, when God speaks, we're made to see who he is. You know, we can't see who he is. We have our guesses and we have our thoughts and our natural thoughts with regard to God, but they're all wrong. Every one of them are wrong. Everything I think naturally about God is wrong. And you know, I believe that. But when God speaks, you find out who He is. Job put it this way, I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ears, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I hate myself and repent in dust and ashes. He saw who He was. And when the Lord reveals who He is, it's always this way. He reveals who He is, and that's when you see who you are. You won't see who you are until you see who He is. And if you see who He is, you will see who you are. Now, somebody that's walking in pride and arrogance, they just haven't seen the Lord. It is that simple. They haven't seen the Lord. If somebody sees the Lord, it's going to humble them. You're going to see who you are, and you're going to see salvation is of the Lord. That's what you'll understand when God speaks. The voice of the Lord makes the hinds to calve, and it discovers the forest. There's revelation in His voice. And I love this statement. In His temple. Now, that's not talking about a physical building. Every believer makes up the temple of God, don't they? That's mysterious. It's glorious. The temple of God is not some physical temple. Now, that physical temple was given to represent the true temple of God, His people, His body, every member of His church. Now, in His temple, there are no exceptions to this rule. In His temple doth everyone speak of His glory. You know, I have no doubt that every believer will respond positively to Jesus Christ getting all the glory and salvation. You know that's so. And you don't want to hear anything else. You won't hear anything else. But that which gives Him all the glory, and as I've said several times, there's two reasons for that. One, because He deserves all the glory. And second, I want Him to have all the glory, because if He doesn't get all the glory, something's expected out of me. And if something's expected out of me, I'm in trouble. But I want Him to have all the glory because He deserves all the glory. And that lets me know that salvation is all what He does in His temple. In His temple doth everyone without exception speak of His glory. We love Him getting all the glory in salvation. Verse 10. The Lord does what only He can do. He sits on the flood. Now what happens if you or I try to sit down on the flood or in the sea? We sink, don't we? But not the Lord. This is showing us His omnipotence at all times. And even the flood, unstable as water. You know, I think it's interesting how in creation, water everywhere. I don't understand all that. Water above, water beneath. The earth was covered with water. But what water speaks of is instability. And the Lord has absolute control over instability. And He sits upon the flood. Not pacing back and forth, worrying. He sits in absolute control of the flood. Now, I don't understand why He sent the tornadoes. He does. And the Lord's always good. And I don't want to be hardened toward those people. I want to be, you know, that could happen to me. That could happen to you. The Lord said it. But here's the point. He reigns. He sits on the flood in uncontested sovereignty. None can stay His hand or say to Him, what doest thou? Give it an explanation for yourself. He sits on the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. Now, king. He's prophet. Aren't you thankful for him being the Word of God, bringing you the Word of God? He's priest. Oh, I want him to be my representative and bring me before the Father as my great high priest. He's priest. But really, none of that is effectual unless he's king. Now, the verb form of king is reign. I need him as my king to reign in me. I need him as my king to cause me to believe, because he reigns and his will is done. I need him as my king to save me. He sitteth on the floods, on the waters, as king. And then we're given this promise in verse 14. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Now, his people. There are people called his people. I shall be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. That's the word of God. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save who? His people. His people from their sins. Now, what that is a reminder to us is that God is God, and his people are the people he calls his people. I'm going to say this in the preaching service, but you know the best way to begin with an unbeliever is election. There's a people called his people. And what that lets the people know who are listening, God's God. Election is God being God. And if I was going to begin to preach to some people who had never heard the gospel, here's where I'd want to begin. God is God. That means you're in his hand. That means your eternal destiny is up to him. Isn't that a good place to begin? I think it's almost amusing how people say, well, you ought not preach election to unbelievers. Why not? It's the best thing they can hear. It's where we begin. The character of God, who God is. Now, there's somebody called his people. His people. That's scriptural. Somebody says, I don't like that. I do. His people. Now, look at this promise. The Lord will give strength unto his people. Now, strength is the power to do. That man with the withered hand, he couldn't stretch it forth. He couldn't believe. He couldn't repent. He couldn't love. He couldn't see God. When the Lord said, stretch forth thine hand, he stretched it forth. The Lord will give strength. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, I realize people who try to use that verse to show you can do anything you want, you can succeed, you can become the president, you can make money. That has nothing to do with what that verse of Scripture means. Not a thing. But what he requires you to do, he gives you the strength to do it. The Lord will give strength. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Now you're going to have to be willing. And the only way you'll be willing is him making you willing in the day of his power. The Lord will give strength to his people. And the Lord will bless his people with peace. Now, there's only one thing that gives me peace. Listen real carefully. There's one thing that gives me peace. That everything God requires of me, I have in Christ Jesus. That everything God requires of me, he looks to Christ for. I have the peace of knowing that before God, because of what Christ did only, I have nothing but peace. I'm holy, unblameable, I'm unreprovable. Perfect in Christ Jesus. That is peace. That's the peace of God that passes all understanding. He will give strength. He will give peace. You see, Christ Jesus is our peace, having made peace through the blood of his cross. We have peace. He will give strength. He will give peace. The voice of God. What a voice. Okay.